Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. We are on Friday, so what does that mean? That means we're all over Questions Friday. And I got questions, and boy, they're kind of hard questions, but that's okay. They're pretty cool, and I'm going to answer them. The first one that I got was just, I don't even know, but I'm going to kind of answer it. It is, why are Muslims being targeted all around the world, Nadia, the Middle East, Afghanistan, and other Asian countries, by Chris Jordan? And the question, at first I go, but that's just how it is. I grew up here. I've always heard this verbiage. I even thought it. But then around 15, I went to like a tour of a bunch of Middle Eastern countries because my mom decided she wanted us to see where we were from because she realized we didn't know. And so she takes 6 kids from the ages of like 4 on up by herself and takes us to like Jerusalem and Palestine and Jordan, and we drove from there to Syria through Iraq, and I don't remember Iraq very well, and then we went to Kuwait. And I didn't see any evidence of violence and crazy things that we keep hearing in the news. So I, on my way there, didn't know what to expect. I just thought maybe they're pretty disorganized the way the ones were in Chicago and stuff like that. And the people generally were pretty educated and smart and working around the world. So as I got older, I remember people saying things like our resources are our curse and all this kind of talk, like their oil. And some people, there was always an argument of should we have had the oil or not, who really benefits from it as far as the people go. And this was a big question. There's also a lot of gold there, and they have very nutrient-rich soil and all of this. But bigger than that was, it's just like the War of the Roses. It's, you know, who's going to dominate the world and whatever. And I think that when you have any two big religions, you're going to find that, because the one that wants to be predominant will be that way. And so there was a way to stop that. This is way back. I mean, what it became now and how it played out and how they created certain events and stuff, you know, we'll figure all that out when we go home, because I don't think it's happening while we're on Earth. But people are people are people, and nobody on Earth obviously should be singled out, because we're finding out as we get older, and actually Facebook did a lot to break this down, was that everybody's normal. No country, no group of people can ever be hit with a blanket statement that says that they're this or that, because even within everybody's background and everybody's religion, even within that, you're going to have the right and the left and the this and the that, and they have their own ecosystem that goes on within themselves, let alone what they have to band together and face the world with. But my work and my life's work is to blow all this stuff out of the water, just to stop talking about who people are and looking at them as people. I don't see who someone is coming at me. All I see is a soul. Whether their permanent clothes are Indian or Muslim or Irish or whatever somebody is, it's irrelevant. That's part of our challenge, is to get along no matter who we are. So as we grow, we start feeling better when we know other people and say, oh, wow, these people are really nice, and they're fill in the blank. No, my best friend is fill in the blank. So that question, it could lend itself really high and fast on politics, but I have to bring it back to love, because I see that breaking down at this time in our history. So they are, but it won't be for long. I think that we are evolving. We are evolving. I don't think we are. We are evolving as a group of people. And the old world, the old thinking, the old politics is now pulling out all the people who are maybe not happy about that. But the people are saying, but we are, and we're going to fight for each other. So it's just really interesting that I even get a question like this, or I got it today. But thank you, Chris, for that. I probably didn't answer it in the way you wanted to, but the work that we have is to not target any group of people, because at any time throughout our history, there's always someone that everybody doesn't want to be around or wants to hurt, or wants to hurt others, or the group themselves want to hurt people, or whatever it is. But that will go on until we make a decision that people are people. So that was my first question, and I hope I answered it. So I see that Maria, she wrote, I always tell myself, remember how much you don't know about the other person. And that's true in every situation, because there's another little thing to be said about that before we go on, I guess. It's not just religion or geography, but sometimes the way someone dresses, the color they are, like in terms of their own background, the shade of, I want to say, what department they work in, how much they're educated. When we're not pulling out one thing, we're pulling out another whole bag of stuff. Imagine all the stuff we filter through to every single person. To every single person. Just to decide who they are in those first few seconds we see them. We make a decision. I normally don't hang around with people like that. She's heavy. He's too skinny. She's quiet. You know, whatever it is, we start deciding in our heads. And then later when we meet the person, we're like, wow, that person was really interesting. Had I never talked to them, I would have never known. It's really about giving everybody a chance that we would want given to us. Because that chance that we get carries all the weight in the world in everything else we do. If we shut people down, it's probably meaning we're shutting this down and that down, and it's a mentality, not a fight. I had a woman in my car the other day that I was driving somewhere to the airport, and she's a Trump supporter, and I love this woman, and she asked me, she said, do you think God put Trump as president? And I said, do I think God put Trump as president? And she said, yeah. And I said, of course. How could something like this happen? It has shocked every human being on earth. I said, but God is technically behind everything. And she said, well, why do you think he put him there? And I said, not for the same reasons you believe so, but I'm happy he's there. She said, well, what are your reasons? I said, my reasons is that, you know how you would read in any religious book or even anything Christ told me? The truth has to come out. Otherwise, we cannot go on or grow on in our world. And believe it or not, even though Trump is being accused of fake news, real news, telling the truth, just talking off the top of his head, and he's a president of a country right now. So his speech may not be consistent, but when you talk to somebody who's studying everything, this person, before the elections were final, I saw them, her and her husband, about 8 months prior. They said, we don't really support him, but we do support the Republican Party. I said, then, you know, you have to do what's in your heart. And I said, but look what's happened. He's brought the world together. The whole world either agreed or disagreed. What Christ told me early on in Origins of Truth, and if somebody has the book Origins of Truth and you haven't read it for a while, you should go back and read it. It is a completely different read. It starts making sense like crazy right now. At the time, it made a certain sense, but now it's in full bloom. And I told her, go back and read the book. Christ said it will either be black or white. There will no longer be a gray area. You're either this or that. And look at how divided everybody is. It's awesome because it's forced us to talk. It's forced us to do and want. and care about what we want and not allow other things to come into play. People were protesting who didn't even know why they were protesting. But somehow they got up, left their houses, went and carried signs, carried their children on their backs. And when the media was asking them, a lot of them just said, I want to fight for what's right. But they didn't know what that meant yet. But they knew they had to fight for something. And they went. When I went to the airport to pick somebody up from the international terminal, there you go. There were lawyers on the inside with signs. There were people on the outside. I taped it with my phone because I knew it's not going to last every weekend. But it stopped because it got blocked. But either way, people are looking for a reason to join together to do something. It is amazing, our world today. World leaders, the old paradigm. No one can play the old game because we have new Trump. For whatever he's doing, whatever he's saying, it's almost entertaining to watch the news and see the old paradigm fall brick by brick. What is new? We don't even know yet. But what's old can't even exist. There was an article yesterday that said they're not even going to share intelligence with him. Why? Because he doesn't think before he talks. He spends more time retracting than he does being proactive. Does it mean he's good or bad? No. He's doing exactly what he needs to do for the old paradigm to shift and crumble. Because he's just up there talking. He doesn't have a filter. We're learning more about our government right now in this history than we probably ever will again. We're learning more about the little things that go on behind the scenes without even being told, just by watching the response to him. Nothing happens without a purpose behind it. There is no challenge without a purpose, and there is no purpose without a challenge. And we are now all witnesses of this. It's easy to get on the bandwagon to cut him up, and it's easy to get on the bandwagon to love him. But to understand in the bigger picture, I always say the top-down view, we are seeing history every single day we're alive. Imagine yourself telling somebody 5 years from now, well, there isn't anyone in our world who doesn't know this is going on, but maybe a kid that's 7 or 8 years old and they become 12 or 13 about this time, you're going to realize how unique this time in history is and for every human being that's alive, because entire systems that were just same old, are now being woken up one country at a time. It's so cool. So that's the first question. Second question. Hi, Nadia. I have a question for today. In some of my dreams, I hear or see someone who doesn't sound or look like anyone I know in this life, but I recognize them. I seem to identify them right away by their soul. My question is, am I disguising them in my dream, or do I possibly know them in another time in a different body? Thank you, Nadia, and much love, Eliana. Okay, that's a good question, because what you don't know and what I don't know, it's not that you may have known them in another life, like while you were here, but we all have lineage. We all have ancestors, most of which we don't know, that might have, where you take after one of them in some way, and they show up to help you. So, of course, you know them. You knew them before you came, and you will know them again when you go back. It's not so much people you knew in another life, it's people you just knew that you came down here and you're part of that lineage. Because you would recognize a brother or a sister, sometimes a grandmother, if you met your grandmother while you were on earth. But even if you didn't meet a grandmother or a great-grandmother, and of course none of us met our great-great-great-grandmothers or grandfathers or family members, but they will come in and they will help you or just let you know they're there. Those dreams, when you have these dreams, you start feeling a deep connection to yourself, to your family, to your own family that you have, your kids and all of this in this life, because you are reminded of the lineage. And a lot of times when you get those dreams and they come in like that, they go back so far that their purpose is to eradicate fear you may be feeling. And that fear is usually something where people start saying, I can't do this, I can't do that, where you start getting in the camp mode and you can't get off the train. They come in just to let you know, look at how long this lineage has survived. Look at how much strength is behind you. Look at the support you have. We've all faced challenges, but it's in our lineage to overcome them. Never for a minute say, I can't. If there's something you really can do and you know you can, but it might be a little hard, whether it's making another movie, whether it's, you know, a way you raise your family, whether it's something you do for yourself, find a way. But when they come in like that, they want to eradicate your fear by reminding you internally of your lineage. It's a very interesting way to look at it, but that's where the recognition comes from, and that's why you feel like you know them and you're perfectly fine with them. You just didn't know them here. Because I know I'll see my dad and my mom a lot. I see them. But then I'll see my grandmother or my grandfather once in a while, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, thanks for reminding me how strong we are. Okay, got it. So that's why when we have dreams and random people show up, a lot of times that is the case. Once in a while, we will dream of people we don't know yet, and then when we see them, we have recognition, and that's just home helping us, like, have that recognition and take that path. Even though that path might not be great for our future, but it's great for a lesson we need now, we will meet them. And that recognition is what it is. Sometimes you meet people and you say, oh my God, I feel like I've known you all my life. And as we get older, we don't do that as much. When we're younger, because we meet more people, this is when we're setting our base in life, we seem to say that a lot. I used to say that a lot. I'd meet people and I'd be like, holy cow, that's just so weird. And then we'd like jump into this friendship hard and fast. Men, women, and children. And then the lessons would be learned, and then it'd be like, wow, I haven't seen them in like 5 years, 10 years. But we were only intersecting to teach each other intensely so that that lesson would carry us for the rest of our lives. Now it's different as you get older because now you're dealing with more experience. And actually, that goes into my next question. I have these next two questions, and one of them was, you know, I was asked, are we the same? It was a 16-year-old person who asked me this, so I had to put it down. Are we the same? Why aren't we the same every morning? Why do I wake up some days and I'm happy? Some days I'm sad. Some days I have a lot of energy. Some days I don't want to go to school. I don't want to see my friends. I just want time out. And I really thought about that because I know that's true. We all know that's true. Some days we need that coffee faster than we don't. And some days, you know, we wake up and we don't want to see anyone. And other days we wake up, we shower, we get dressed, we're out the door, and we're like, God, I could do this every day. Why don't I? So to have it come from a 16-year-old, I go, wow, you still have a lot of life yet to live. And then I just said, you're not the same person every day. Even if you didn't do anything new today or anything different, you're still not the same person tomorrow. Every day brings with it its own set of gifts. Whatever the circumstances are, however old you are. It was like telling my daughter the other day, and she never thought of it this way, but I said, every child is born into a different family of the same family. And she's like, hey, that's cool. And I said, but think about it. You were my firstborn, my first pregnancy, how I took care of myself, how I took care of you, what I knew, what I didn't. So I, you know, your first beginning was completely different than your brother's. Because by the time I had your brothers, I had you and your brother, and you were like 2 years apart. And your brother was yet a different baby than you, even though you both came out of me. Well, one, he was a boy, obvious. But after that, he was a lot quieter. She was talking when she was crawling, calling me by my first name because nobody called me mom yet. And she'd be like, Nadia, Nadia. And she'd be crawling around, and I'd look. She was like having a little cat. She'd had all of this hair of this really tiny body and just calling my name all day. And she didn't walk for a really long time. She was after a year. She was born in February. She walked in May. So let's say 14 months, which turned out to be average, but everyone and their uncle would call me and say, is she walking yet? Is she walking yet? And I'd be like, oh, stop asking. It's like, you know, just let her be. She'll walk. And then my son, 9 months, he's holding my dad's hand. And nobody even noticed him let go of my dad's hand and just walk across the room to the television to touch the screen. And then it hit us like, oh, my God, he just walked by himself from there to there. Never crawled. But maybe we did more with him. There was obviously different circumstances. Obviously he was different. So if no two kids are alike and no 2 days are alike, we are so accustomed to change. We are so accustomed to thriving when we're changing. We wake up when we have a challenge. We wake up when there's a problem because we have to pay attention. And then we find out how many resources we have inside of us that are like phenomenal. And then we think, wow, in one day I did all this. My God, how do I do those days where I feel like I can't do anything? But every day is a new day. So as I was thinking about this, and I wrote the question down earlier so I wouldn't forget it, and then Christ just chimes in so quiet, so beautifully, and he says, every day is a new snowflake. And I thought, I remember when I lived in Chicago, because God knows I haven't really seen, you know, snow come down on me and lay on my coat like it did when you have it every day in the Midwest or on the East Coast. But I remember looking at them, and each one so beautiful, yet there weren't two the same. And look at how many snowflakes there were. I remember thinking then, and it just brought it back to me now, so thank you for that question, was that when I did see those snowflakes, it's like for a minute you almost forget you're here because they are like more beautiful than the perfect design that you could ever find. It's like when you look into a flower. It takes away all this extra stuff we put on top of life. It reminds you that you don't need anything and you don't care about anything other than discovering, other than feeling, other than knowing. When you have a baby, it shuts out the whole world and you take care of this baby. You can't believe you had the baby, but it happened with or without you. It grew in there no matter what you did on the outside. It grew on the inside. And when it was time for it, it did come out. And we forget what a miracle that is. There are no two pregnant women alike, even though you may see 100 of them walking at one time. The uniqueness, the beauty, the warmth, the love that exists for us to see are the very things that we walk right by every single day, on our way to a store to buy what we think we need that will end up in a garage sale in 5 years, somewhere. I like the questions I get from young people because they are now just starting to see what everyday life is, because now they're thinking about it. When you're 7 or 8 years old, you don't think about it. When you're 10, you don't think about it. You just think about tomorrow, if you even think about tomorrow. But you want to have fun right now. And then we tell them, well, wait till you grow up, because then they realize they can't have fun right now. They have to do this, 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 and this before it. My son just figured out yesterday, isn't it sad that old people can't retire and they have to wait until they're really older to do the things they've always wanted to do? And to hear these statements isn't big news to me because we've been saying them for a long time. But it's new information to them. It's a new discovery to them. And it overwhelms them. And their world, their job market, their thinking is completely different. At this point, you either kind of found a way to work on your own, or you work for a really good company, or you have a really low-paying job. There's very little in between all of that. Regard for families through companies is very poor. Regard for time off in your health is very poor. If we did a report card, they would get very bad grades. Paying attention to the human soul, very bad grade. It's amazing watching them discover as though it's brand new information, yet it's been here all along. They just didn't see it. They didn't need to see it. And us as adults, as older people, we can make a choice as to what we want to include in what we think about every day. Because we have a choice. I can say, I can pay attention to everything that's not working. I can pay attention to everyone who doesn't like me. I can pay attention to everything I can't do. Or I can pay attention to everything I can do. I can pay attention to everything I want to do. I can say how I really feel. I can talk from my heart because I know I'll have a better day and it's still a day. I can still do whatever I want today when I wake up. And when we get off the show later on today, we can each do whatever we want. I know we're going to say, but I have to work and I have to do this. And I immediately thought that when I just said that. But I love doing that. The other day, I can't remember what day it was. It was Tuesday night to Wednesday morning. I had to solve something in my head, and I couldn't do it. I went to sleep. I couldn't ever close my eyes. And so I thought, well, heck, if I'm going to be awake, I'm going to wake up. So I was wide awake. I wake up, and I talked until 4:15 in the morning to solve an issue. I went to sleep at 4:15, and I woke up at 5 to get ready for the show. And I will tell you, it was hard at first to wake up because I couldn't believe because you're not going to sleep riding in. But then once I woke up, I was awake again, and I stayed awake the whole day until the evening, and I slept at like 7:30 at night. That was it. That's all my body could take. But I took my body to the gym. I went for my walks. I came home. I ate okay. I just kept saying, wow, it didn't even catch up with me. Pretty good for my age. And I was laughing at myself. But we are so resilient. We are so capable. As long as we make a decision so that we have some sense of direction on where we are going. I did have another question. It may end up being a show. It was about religion. I will see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend. Pray for California. We're getting like the worst rainstorm since 2000. You guys, bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit